inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
My favorite way to build wealth with rental properties is the snowball. That's where you buy a property, that property generates a profit, you take that profit, and you use it to buy rental property number two. So now you've got two properties, they're both generating profit, you've got double the profit, you reinvest all that into property number three, and you just keep on doing this over and over and over again. And over time, it's really incredible how much wealth you can build just by building that snowball and getting it bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, that's what my guest on the show today did. He just kept on reinvesting his profits, but he also found ways to make his properties more profitable. So on the show today, we're going to talk about some of the things that he's doing to make things more profitable. Joining us on the show today from Dallas is Edwin Disasway. We're going to take a really quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Edwin. When I'm doing research to buy a new rental property, there's a lot of different websites, apps, and then a spreadsheet that I use to do my analysis. It's really kind of a convoluted process. Well, there's a much easier way. There's an app called Ask Rick. That's R-I-C for Rental Income Calculator. Ask Rick makes it really easy to find and analyze rental properties. You can see all the properties for sale in an area. If something looks good, you can press one button. It'll analyze the property for you. It'll figure out the rent amount. It'll figure out your mortgage payment, all your expenses, and give you your cash flow. If you're ready to move forward, you can make an offer right there on the app, or you can send the information over to your realtor to do some more investigation into the property. You can try it out for free right now. Just search for Ask Rick. That's R-I-C, Ask Rick in the App Store, or go to justaskrick.com. That's justaskrick.com. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Let's start off talking about the snowball and how you use the snowball concept to build out your rental portfolio.
Well, I approached real estate. It's cash flow investing is long term. So I knew that if I put this self-sustaining unit in place that was bringing me cash flow every month, I had the bonus of knocking down the loan a little bit, and maybe some equity would build up. Mm-hmm. As you get one of those in place and have some success with it, then I can repeat the process, tune it a little bit, got the second one going. And I knew from the beginning it made sense, because we were completing these deals and I'm looking at the result at the end, and I now have something that's going to pay me $200 every month.
Right.
And I'm just like, cool, you know, that's the objective here. And it's not going to take a ton of my time to do this. I'll be able to figure out ways to make it happen without me being actively involved. And that's an ongoing challenge. So after we got the first one done, it made sense to just roll into the second one, the third one. Of course, in the beginning, it's slow going. You're learning. And I kind of just put my head down and kept going. It was pretty cool to wake up or take a look maybe five deals into it and suddenly, hey, you've got over $1,000 of income coming right in from this.
You know, and I think that beginning is really kind of the hardest part when you have a couple of deals and you're making a few hundred dollars a month. But as you start to buy more and more properties and you kind of see that the number is getting bigger and bigger, it gets more exciting. So like, how many rentals do you think you were at before you said, wow, like, you know, I think I'm onto something here. I think that this is going to work out pretty good.
You know, there were different levels. Getting past the first three or four told me, hey, you know what? this is your job, this is your business, and this is what you're going to do for a while. That became obvious. Mm-hmm. When I was in the teens is when it really struck me. And I had an ability to put my head down, work, and not really pay attention too much to what I already had in the bank. I didn't look at my financial reports too often. I just knew that they were going in the right direction. And then somewhere around 10 or 12 houses, I stopped and looked and went, wow. And people were telling me I was doing this great stuff, but it didn't occur to me. I wasn't actually experiencing it. I was experiencing the next house.
Right.
And I wasn't looking back at all. And boy, is it a treat to do that.
Sure is.
So as I got into, 10 houses, then I'm actually going, I've actually replaced what income I would have been earning at another job, right, or some version of that.
So where are you today? What does your portfolio look like today?
I currently have about 44 houses. The one goal I had from early on was to collect one rent check for every day of the year. And that meant collecting 30 rent checks in a month plus 3 in case somebody doesn't pay. So, and I did get over 30. I got up to 35 houses that year. So
I love that. That's awesome. Let's dissect how you did this, because I feel like there isn't really one secret to how you built your portfolio and how you got to where you are today. But there's a lot of different things that you're doing. So the first thing I want to ask you about is the hidden way that rentals help people build wealth. Can you kind of tell me what that is?
Every time you make a loan payment, or I should say every time my tenant's money is used to make my loan payment, some part of that is principal reduction. It goes towards reducing the loan amount. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a big fan of that. Depending on the term on your loan, anywhere from $20 to $200 or $300 a month is coming off those loans.
Yeah, you really don't think about that, but that really does add up over time.
It's amazing. So I'm working on a refinance right now, where it's pretty much going to be a rate and term refinance for me. 5 years ago, the loan balances on these houses were $90,000. And today, they're a little bit over $81,000. So in 5 years, I've cash flow on these houses all along. And some of the rent payment has gone to reducing the loan amounts by almost $9,000. If I choose to not refinance at 9 and refinance lower amount, I'm lowering my payment by $50 a house every month. So
yeah, that is really,
it just
really awesome. And then the other thing that you've done to kind of accelerate that is you've used a lot of 20-year loans. Now talk me through this, because when I'm buying a rental, I always like the security of having a lower payment so that if I get into tough times, I know that I have a smaller payment, but I like the idea of a 20-year mortgage because you're really just banging away at that principal at such a rapid pace. Did that thought ever cross your mind that, maybe it's a little bit riskier taking on a 20-year mortgage, or were you so focused that you really want to get that principal reduction?
To me, it was like a little forced, almost like an IRA or something. So where money that hadn't even reached me yet was going into this account. And when the time is right, there would be money available for me.
Yeah, and that is awesome. So, yeah, like your little retirement fund.
I prefer what I know is going to happen. And I've always been very objective in my approach to investing. So, and that's where I latch on to principal reduction, because I know that's going to happen.
Tell me about the refinance that you're doing right now. And I think this is really exciting because you've been able to really pull off some magic with your rental properties, where you've been able to lower your expenses and also take some money out. Talk me through what you did.
We mentioned the principal reduction, where those loan balances decreased by 10%. I'm able now today to get, it's actually 4.25%. I'm going to refinance those four houses. And the difference in the payment between the 6.5 I was paying and the 4.25 now is almost $140 a month.
140, and it's over how many houses?
Well, that's per house, that 140. So multiply that by four. And so I could actually reduce my payment by $560 a month.
You know, that's really awesome. I mean, just to make sure everybody understands that you've just basically increased your cash flow by $560. And the only thing you've changed is the financing. I mean, you haven't bought or sold anything. You just have a different loan, and you've just given yourself a raise of $560 a month.
It blows me away that, you know, we can do things like this.
Talk to me about rehabbing for the neighborhood. A lot of times people maybe want to over-improve their rentals or do things to rehab the properties that aren't really necessary. How do you decide what you need to do so that the properties are nice, but not over-improved at the same time?
You know, for a long time, it was formica on the countertops, and nobody complained. Now, as some of the granite has come down in price, I'm actually using a little more granite, and it's not because I really want to be flashy there. It's because it's cost effective in a lot of ways, because I'm not going to have to replace that granite, you know, on a turnover where somebody puts a hot cup of coffee or something in the wrong spot and suddenly I have a burn mark on my counter.
That's interesting. So you're spending a little bit more, but it's worth it. I mean, the materials are lasting longer, and then you also have a little bit of wow factor when people walk in and see granite.
Yeah, that is pretty important. It's at first and especially your decision maker is often mama. It's not so much papa. And, you know, she's going to be in the kitchen a lot, and you put a little extra wow in there. And again, it's not expensive. And it's one thing we've noticed, a friend of mine brought in three different granite guys recently, and he had like, they were bidding against each other. And there's a lot of these guys that run small shops, they'll have a little warehouse set up and have some slabs in there, and, you know, they'll have another warehouse with some more stuff somewhere else. And, you know, they're just kind of a small business trying to get by. Yeah. So they're looking for work now. So that's another reason to, one is to support those guys, because they sure help us out when we need it. And, and you end up with a better product.
Let's talk about how you manage your property. So there's a couple of different ways that people manage property. Some people want to do it all themselves, and that can be time consuming. Other people will hire a management company, but, you know, that can be expensive, with your management company taking 10% of the rent. You've kind of figured out a different way to do it. Can you tell me how you're managing your properties?
Yeah. Well, I've basically been able to find and hire key people to do each of the important administrative and rehab roles.
Okay.
I recently signed up for a software package called Buildium, a management package. And that has a really good tenant portal for them to both pay rent, very easy for them. They've all responded positively. And it also has a maintenance function for them to submit tasks.
Awesome.
So yeah.
So okay. So they go online, they fill out the request, and then you can assign it to one of your maintenance people.
Yeah. It's actually even an app too. So is that the same as online?
Yeah.
Just press
a
couple buttons and you're
okay. Awesome.
So simple stuff. And they really do like it.
And then, so all the payments then are all electronic, but then you have a bookkeeper that is kind of overseeing all the numbers.
Well, she's updating our accounting. She's talking to tenants. You know, normally she'd be sending out eviction notices at this point of the month from people who weren't paying, just as a reminder to please make your payment. And things are a little different this month, so we're not doing that. But we are. So she will be in constant contact with them throughout the month.
Awesome.
Work with them to make payments. Yeah. Oh, it's totally awesome.
And then how do you do showings when you have a turnover?
Well, that's changed a little bit recently. One of the people that used to help me with management, taking maintenance calls. So kind of on the maintenance side, I had the crew doing the work, and then somebody needs to be that administrative front person. A broker was doing that for me for a while, and she was also, showing the properties for rental. So she didn't like doing the maintenance piece so much, but she didn't mind doing the rentals. So whenever I have a rental now, it's just, hey, Linda, you want to take care of this one? She goes, sure, I got it, Stick, no problem. And I give her the info. We get a lockbox on it. Now, I have a number of process documents I've put together. You know, one of them for my team getting a make ready started. And that's just making sure we have the utilities turned on and permits if we need them and whatever else. Let's get everybody lined up. And then we get into the checklists and the work that needs doing. A lot of my rehabbers I actually met playing poker. So they were kind of friends first and became crew second.
Talk to me about it. Recently with COVID-19, there's been a lot of changes. And like, so what are you doing right now with maintenance? Like if something maybe isn't critical, are you holding it off or are you doing stuff? Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of, we're deferring what we can. We've told tenants, unless something's critical, we don't want to come in your house. And they go, sure, that sounds good to me. Stay away.
Yeah, right.
So it's kind of a win-win, but we will have some deferred maintenance catching up later.
Do you see any downside to that where maybe, you know, say if maybe someone has a small water leak, you can fix it and it's not a big deal, where that could be a big deal if it sits for a long time? Or are you just not even really thinking about that right now?
I do think that could be. I have one or two places too, one of my dirtier tenants, and my rehabber won't go in the house. He's like, I don't trust those people. They're dirty. Yeah. And so I'm going nowhere near it. And we do have a little bit of a tub leak there, their overflow. But I'm willing to take the risk of having to replace some sheetrock and the ceiling below it if that's what it takes. And we're just not going to get sick. And, you know, I'm willing to, it'll be a couple $100 if I have to do that. It's kind of the path of least resistance right now.
Yeah.
And that's another thing about having a lot of houses. It's not like I don't get a number. I can easily absorb an extra few $100 rehab if I have to.
That's the thing. It's like rentals, it works so much better the more you have.
Yeah. And one comment I wanted to make early, we were talking about the very beginning. It's harder when you're in the beginning, those first couple houses, because something goes wrong, it can be a big impact. So if you're going to make the commitment to doing this, it helps to build up a portfolio as quickly as you can to have that, you know, again, doing good deals, don't do a deal just to have one, but you're better off having four or five houses when that first, you know, real issue hits, that suddenly, oh, curveball, I need another. My AC unit went out. I need $2,200.
Right. Absolutely. That's been my experience 100%. When I was just starting out and had one rental property, if I had a repair or something happened at the rental property that month, it would really ruin my day and kill my cash flow for that month. But as I've bought more houses and as I've grown my rental portfolio, I don't even notice repairs anymore. The cash flow from that rental will cover it. If it doesn't, the cash flow from the other rentals cover it, and it doesn't really affect me. Well, if you are in the Dallas area and you want to connect with Edwin, who also goes by the nickname Stick, he runs a local mastermind group for local landlords where they get together and talk real estate. If you want to connect with him, I've got his contact information on my website. Just go to rentalincomepodcast.com/episode 264. I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If Edwin inspired you and you want to buy your first rental or you want to add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge. She's a nationwide lender and she specializes in helping investors buy rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs and she can find something that'll work for you. If you want to buy a rental property, she can find a way to make it work. If you want to find out more or you want to set up a time to talk to Chaley, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE, lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If this is your first time here, make sure you subscribe. We've got new interviews every single Tuesday, and if you subscribe, you'll get notified as soon as they come out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.